Mayor Ron Ertley.
Here.
Councilmember Anna Klein.
Here.
Councilmember Douglas Dunn.
I hear him.
Councilmember Serena Sullivan.
Present.
City staff, Justin Johnson, city manager, Ashley Coronado, city clerk, Sharon Bono, finance director, Ben Reyna, police chief, Ann Carl, city attorney.
Thank you. For the invocation, let us turn our thoughts to the people we have known who have passed away over the last year or so with a moment of silence. Thank you. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I have no announcements or proclamations tonight, so we'll go directly to call to the public. And so we have a few people signed up. We'll start with Harry and Patty Pace. Okay.
My name is Harry Pace. I live at 308 Douglas Street. And I think we need to clean up the town, like the streets, the main highway coming into town. And there's a lot of trash on both sides of the road. And I think the town would be really beautiful if we clean up the streets. And I would volunteer 20 hours a week helping to do that. And appreciate all the help I can get for doing that. And I also do lawns and gardens. And I work for a lot of elderly people. And I give a 15 to 30% discount. So if anybody needs a job, needs to do work, I'll do it. I'll give a big discount. Also work for the city if you want me to. How can I sign up to be on the council? I was talking to the mayor, and I think we need another department store in here. Dollar store, Family Dollar store, and General Dollar store just don't have anything. Like if you need something else besides milk or cheese or clothes, medicine, a pharmacy would be good, and a Kmart if we can get that in there, or a small store in there. I think it'll be a lot for the taxes for the city, and the city will make money with another business in there. And I would put out petitions and have people sign and see if we can come up with $20,000 or so we can have another store in there, because Alco was the biggest store here. It's a shame the chain fell, and it means a lot of jobs going to be lost. And if we had jobs in the city, get some of these people that's out there bumming money, give them a job where they can get off the street and work on getting to be a citizen, get a home. And I've been hiring a lot of people myself to help work with me, trying to give them help, you know. And I think that'd be good if we can make some kind of jobs here in the city for people to do that, so they can clean up their life and straighten up and help the city. And that's pretty much all I got.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
that.
Thank you.
Next, we have Donna Pulling.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Donna Pulling. I'm a resident of Bisbee, and I am here tonight to inform you that I have filed a complaint to the Arizona Attorney General's office on Monday, January 5th, and I will read the complaint and give a copy of it to Ms. Coronado for the record. The complaint is a violation of the open meeting law that occurred at the regular session of the Bisbee City Council meeting on December 16th, 2014 at 7 p.m. Describe the conduct that you believe violated the open meeting law. For the December 16th, 2014 regular session of the Bisbee City Council, there was insufficient notice of an amended agenda prior to the meeting at which three additional items were decided. All three items included on this amended agenda had financial impact on the city. And just as early or as late as this morning, I found out that, in fact, there was a second amended agenda that included other items in addition to the one that I attached to this complaint. The City of Bisbee Clerk's Office has identified two physical locations, one inside of Bisbee City Hall, and the second inside the Bisbee Public Library, and one website as official posting locations for all City Council meetings. The City Clerk claims an amended agenda for the December 16th, 2014 meeting was posted on the city website late in the afternoon of December 15th, but because of a computer malfunction, this posting did not appear on the website. As I indicated to you, apparently there was a second amended agenda that was also posted to the website as late as 6:47 on Monday, the 15th. The Bisbee City Manager claims that a hard copy of the amended agenda for the December 16th, 2014 meeting was taped to the door of the Bisbee City Hall by late afternoon on December 15th, which is a location other than the officially designated posting site. Only the amended agenda was taped on the door, and this location is closed at 5 p.m. daily. Therefore, there was no access to any relevant backup documentation as required by Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.09, requiring backup documentation to the notices of public meetings. Bisbee City Hall closes at 5 p.m. and opens at 8 a.m. daily. This gave a total of 9 hours at this site for public access to any pertinent documentation for the amended agenda items to be decided at the December 16th meeting. It is unknown whether an amended agenda was posted at the third official location at the Bisbee Public Library, which closes at 7 p.m. It did close on Monday, 7 p.m., December 15th, and was open from 10 to 5 on December 16th, giving the public a total of 9 hours to see the amended agenda and relevant documentation. There was no way anyone would know it was even there to look. State law requires 24 hours notice of public meetings, including Saturdays. Both City Hall and the Public Library are closed on Saturdays. Email notices of regular sessions of City Council agenda are sent to residents upon request. A regular agenda was emailed on Friday, December 12th. However, unless recipients vigilantly check their emails, they would not be aware of any amended agenda having been emailed prior to Monday, December 15th. I, for one, do not have any internet at my home or on my cell phone, therefore do not rely on email for meeting notices. The form asks, what members of the public body do you believe violated the requirements? And I have listed the Bisbee Mayor and City Council, Bisbee City Manager, Bisbee City Clerk, and Bisbee City Attorney. I was informed that the Open Meeting Law Division at the Attorney General's office has a lawyer who has been on paternity leave since before December, and that they had received no contact from the City of Bisbee regarding any questions about the posting of notices or having met the requirements for the open meeting law. I'm told that this will be investigated by the attorney that works with these cases, And I'm hoping that we'll get a report on this from our city attorney. Thank you.
Normally, Mayor and Council do not comment during call to the public, but Ms. Pulling is alleging something fairly serious. So I just have one question to the city attorney. Was this a legally posted amended agenda on 12-15-14 that Ms. Pulling referred to?
If I may, Mayor, I would prefer that we wait until the end of the call to the public to have questions like that. But actually, because this isn't on, I mean, you can get legal advice, and I can answer that question, I hope, as best as I can. But I would prefer that you wait until the end of the call to the public so that we don't have another complaint.
Next, we have Alondra Mello.
My name is Alondra Mello, and I've been a resident in Bisbee for 35 years. And I want to present a petition to the mayor and the city council. And we request, wait a minute, I have to get my glasses. Oh, I can't see that. Okay. We request, and we have the undersigned people too, that these three items be placed on the agenda of the next regular sessions of the City Council for action. And number one, we, the undersigned members of the public, believe there was a lack of required notice of the amended agenda for the Tuesday, December 16th City Council meeting. And we believe this to be a violation of open meeting law according to ARS 38431.02.10. We request that the three agenda items, numbers 11, 12, and 13 on the said agenda, be declared null and void due to this violation of state open meeting law. Number two, we request a verification of the date, time, and locations of the officially required public notification for any agenda, as well as amended agendas of the city council meetings, the Bisbee City Council meetings. We also request a discussion and action of making the agenda public at least 1 week prior to the actual city council meeting. And number three, we would like the public to have an opportunity to discuss and evaluate the purpose of the monies received from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security via the Stone Garden grants to the city of Bisbee. And I'd like to give this to you.
Thank you.
Whoever's going to take it.
Next, we have Marie Miner.
Hi, Marie Miner. I live in Briggs. I'll be talking to a couple of items. In terms of the last meeting on December 16th, 2014, I raised my hand at one particular point of time to be called on after an agenda item had come up, because I wanted to get more clarification about Stone Garden on behalf of the new people, i.e., Serena Sullivan and Joan Hansen had raised some questions, and that's why I raised my hand. Ron Ertley went on a protocol of saying that he would not allow me to speak because I hadn't signed on to the agenda item prior to it being brought up. Au contraire, two other people who were in the audience were allowed to speak when they were talking about 22 Star Avenue, about the property and about the prices and things of that. They were allowed to speak when they were in the audience, even though they hadn't signed up for it, but I couldn't speak. In subsequent conversation with Mr. Ertley?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, people all mess up your name a lot. I apologize to be part of it. Anyway, he said that he would make an allowance that if a topic has not been brought up, he would allow us to make a note given to either the Sergeant of Arms, Robert Coronado, or to Ashley Coronado, the city clerk. And that's fine and dandy if you, again, you know, happen to come late to the meeting and you want to be able to discuss it, but once a topic's been brought up, it's cut off. Let me point out the problem with that. That is, for instance, if you want some information and you're talking about a project, you might turn to Tom Klimek because he works for Public Works, he's an engineer, and he could give an answer. But what if we had Peter von Grunlach in the audience, and he's a very well-studied engineer himself, and he could add something to it. Going by this protocol, that if Peter hadn't signed up, he wouldn't be allowed to speak. Sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot if you don't allow somebody to speak. That could be very advantageous to have their input. So I would like to make that recommendation that we modify, because Adriana Zavala-Badal, as mayor, could see the value sometimes of having the audience come up and ask questions. And she also had the good judgment, as we do think our mayor does currently, that she would cut off discussion if she found it was getting off track, it was getting contentious, et cetera. It is the right of the mayor to be in charge. So I hope that we will have a little bit of opening on that possibility. Second topic. Every year for the past 8 or 10 years, we've had Stone Garden on the agenda. Well, why wouldn't we anticipate in advance of a day before that we should bring this topic up, because there's going to be some funding issues brought up, and why wouldn't we anticipate it? Was it a mistake on the city manager's part that he didn't foresee it, and oops, at the last moment we did it, or was it Mayor Ertley who didn't see it? I think that we should not have things pushed through like this that regard that kind of amount of money, because a portion of the money that's paid is not paid by the Stone Garden. It is paid in the salary. A portion of that pension money is paid by the city. And so it is to the city's credit that it should have been brought up for more discussion. And I was disappointed that it was kind of railroaded through at the last minute.
Thank you. Next speaker, Maggie Kuhonik. Hope I'm saying that right.
Thank you. You said my last name a lot better than some people say your name. I know, it's myself included, sorry. Mr. Ertl. Right? Did I say it? I said it wrong again?
That works.
Okay, I'm so sorry. So I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, because I'm realizing how much time it takes to come here and to look at all the background information involved in each agenda item, and how much it takes to get this whole thing called governance off the ground and make it happen. So, and I also want to... that's the council people and the mayor and the city staff and also everyone in the audience, because you're all trying to be a part of our governance. And I'm here specifically tonight to agree that I think that the amended agenda was put through too quickly, and that the public has to be involved in what's happening, and how can we be involved if we find out 15 minutes when we come into the meeting. I also think it's really important that when someone from the public wants to speak, I appreciate the call to the public, and I do think that when someone from the audience wants to speak, especially if the agenda item was amended and not put on until last minute, that we should be able to hear from the public if they were to raise their hand. I also am concerned about Stone Garden, and I'm only hearing about it because it was amended, and there was a problem with that. And I know it's been 10 years happening here in Bisbee, but I do think it's important for us to start understanding what Stone Garden is about. And I am concerned about militarization of police. And I did hear that there was possibly going to be a town forum on the public meeting with the police, and I'm totally for that. I think that more town forums would be great. And I'm also here tonight because I personally want to take responsibility for our governance and what's happening here, and I haven't until just recently. So that's why I came to speak tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Carl, would you want to comment on the legality of that amended? Oh, there was another person.
I don't want to put my name on the side on the public.
Okay. Well, we had two sheets out tonight, but Alice, come on up.
Okay.
I just don't have it on this one, but it's okay. You probably put it on the other one.
I know
one.
It was there.
Yeah.
I wrote it.
It's around here somewhere.
So my name's Alice Hammers, 7391 North Frontier Road, McNeil. Thank you, everyone, and thank you all for your work. I was just writing a blurb for the documentary film War Made Easy, and more or less the blurb said that Americans have been sold the hysteria and need to go to war over and over and over and over, and I would add still. We're sold that. Operation Stone Garden is very specific out of Homeland Security. It's about the border, the northern border and the southern border. That's what that money is for. Whether you get millions of dollars for the radio or whatever you get that's nice for the police, what that money is for is the border. So it is about militarization. It is about our police working as border patrol, essentially. So sadly, this city council, I believe, with the exception of Joan Hanson and Serena Sullivan, bought the sale of war, because that's what we're spending our money on. And it looks like we're taking. It looks, oh, God, $1 million. How great. Let's blow up Baghdad. Or let's patrol the border with our city police. But our city police are really important. They're really a critical part. And what do we want our city police to look like? Who do we want them to be? Who do they want to be? So are these millions of dollars coming from Stone Garden? And this is why it's so important that this be a discussion, that you don't add an amendment on something like Stone Garden, which, as people pointed out, also involves money from the city as well in pension funds. You can't just pass something through like that. We really need to think about it. What is this money doing to us? What is this, you know, what is this money? I'd like to ask that this be put on the agenda, and that nothing be, I don't know how you accept grant money or take grant money, but nothing be done until there is a thorough, thoughtful, really public and fair discussion of what Stone Garden is and what we're doing and how we're doing it. And I guess that's it. So thanks very much.
Let me once again refer to the city attorney, and the question once again, was this a legally posted amended agenda on 12/15/14 that Ms. Pulling and some other people referred to?
Okay. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, based on the information that I received at the time of this meeting, which, you know, I assumed was all the information, and perhaps some of the things that Ms. Pulling brought up are things that I was not aware of. I don't know if it's true that it wasn't posted elsewhere, you know, that were accessible within 24-hour, you know, overnight. Things should be posted somewhere physically where people can see them too. And I don't have that information, but I can say that there is an exception in the open meeting law when there is a technological problem with a website. And I think, don't quote me on this, and of course I don't have my laptop here right now, but I think it's 38431.02A4, something like that. And it basically says that so long as other things were posted properly, if there is a technological error, not a human error, it's okay because we live with that, right? Our computers crash or we can't get on the website. And my understanding was that the problem was the website was not working, and that was the only issue. So if that's the case, then I don't believe there was an open meeting law violation. However, I will add to that and say that the Arizona Attorney General's office tends to be very, they value the spirit of the open meeting law, and the spirit is for openness. And so if there's anything that, you know, might lean in one direction toward it otherwise not being properly noticed, then we might have an issue. And we'll deal with that if we do. Certainly, if we do, we can make sure to get this on the agenda again and make sure that the issue is ratified.
Thank you. I want to make one more reference. It's my understanding that Ms. Coronado contacted the Attorney General's office in Phoenix, and what did
the
they say?
It was the Arizona Ombudsman's Office.
Yeah.
That's who I spoke to, Ms. Kathy Marquette. I cannot pronounce her last name. She's been our point of contact for a lot of open meeting law issues. She's actually even come down to the city of Bisbee and taught open meeting law classes, so she was my point of contact that I did contact that day.
And she said this was not a violation.
Correct.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have a comment, please.
Certainly.
First of all, I thank all of you who did take the opportunity to speak. This has been something that I was concerned about also. And being new, I didn't know if it was a valid concern or not. However, I would like to make the suggestion that we have on the agenda for next council meeting the discussion on open meeting laws in respect to what to clarify exactly what they mean, exactly what the public can expect, because one thing is, Donna said something about, or Ms. Pulling, I'm sorry, said that it was the library, and in actuality, it's the post office. So, well, according to the website, it is.
And that's for our public notices, and that meeting was actually posted at our notice location.
Okay.
And that's the notices themselves.
Right. Okay. The agenda has to be part of that notice, though, correct?
No, because those agendas have to be posted on our at our posting location, which is City Hall, and it has to be available to the public, and it is from 8 to 5.
Okay. And when was that posted?
At the same time that you guys received the agendas. It was about 4 o'clock by the time I received all the information to place on there, which was 24 hours before the meeting.
Okay, because it got very confusing when I was trying to figure out whether the agenda was part of the notice or not when I was reading the open meeting laws. So I know that there's a lot of confusion about open meeting laws. I'm confused. Well, that, you know, I'm maybe not as smart as the rest of you. However, I really would like to see this as a discussion item to take a look at the laws, to clarify the laws, and also to see what we as a council and the city of Bisbee can do to make sure that it doesn't happen again, to make it easier so that the public does have that opportunity to address the issues.
Thank you. Let me reference the city manager. The Arizona League of Cities and Towns has a person that's a specialty in open public meeting laws. So perhaps we could contact them. I'm not sure if we could get it at the next meeting in 2 weeks, but it would be up to them. And they normally send people down here to do that. And so maybe we can give them a phone call and see if they might want to come down.
Yes, sir.
That would be good. And we could have a work session on that perhaps.
Certainly.
And also as part of that work session, I would like to see some additional guidance established by the council or whatever procedures for the council in terms of the open meeting laws. I know it's 24 hours. I kind of think that that's not enough time for some of the issues that we have, especially with the amount of information that we get. We're fortunate we get it a little bit earlier than that. But the fact that we have, that we can be posted 24 hours before, I really don't think gives the public enough time.
Any other comments?
I would like to comment, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Sullivan.
I would like to second Joan's desire to have this on discussion again at a future meeting because of I think it might actually cover our butts a little bit if we've got the Attorney General already called. Maybe we should honor the spirit of open meeting law and give the public, since they've asked us, four or five people have asked us tonight, for an opportunity to discuss that and learn more, because in all reality, there wasn't a lot of time for anyone to be aware that those items were on the agenda. And I think that we're hearing loud and clear that it was an issue, and we're here to represent our people, and they're asking us for more clarification and more opportunity to be involved. I think it's our duty to give them that opportunity.
Councilmember Sullivan, I'm not sure if we're getting into illegal matters discussing call to the public, but I will make this comment. There were two opportunities for you or any member of this council to have that, to deal with that situation that you're talking about. Number one, you could have come to me and asked me to pull those items from the agenda to a later session, or B, you could have, during the course of the discussion, said, let's table this, let's make a motion to table, but I never heard either one of those come from you.
I honestly,
and I know you're new,
wanted
all that.
To, and it went too rapidly. There was not even a moment of pause in between the call for a motion to move, and then at that point, once the motion was on the floor, I honestly didn't realize whether or not I could then amend that motion to table. I understand now that I could have done that, and in the future I will. But the point remains that I would like to second Joan's.
Well, we're not doing motions.
I just want to encourage everybody just to not make a motion, just to make a comment if you have one, but leave it at that and don't make it a discussion.
Yes. That'll be all.
Does anybody else, any of the council members have a comment? No. Let's go to item number one. Accounts payable. Any comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we pay accounts payable in the amount of $198,219.06.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve accounts payable in the amount of $198,219.06. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion passes unanimously. Item number two, approval of the consent agenda. That's a long one. Item A, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on November 18, 2014 at 7 p.m. B, approval of the minutes of the regular session of the Mayor and Council held on December the 16th, 2014 at 7 p.m. C, approval of the appointment of James Young to the Civil Service Commission. D, approval of the appointment of Cynthia Conroy to the Planning and Zoning with a waiver for number of commissions served. E, approval of the appointment of Cynthia Conroy to the Police Fire Advisory Board, Ward 2 vacancy with a waiver for number of commissions served. F, appointment of the approval of the appointment of David Smith to the Streets and Infrastructure Committee. G, approval of the appointment of Council Member Dunn to the Evergreen Cemetery Committee as a council liaison. H, approval of the appointment of Council Member Dunn to the IBISBE Committee as the council liaison. I, approval of the appointment of Council Member Hansen to the Civil Service Commission as the council liaison. J, approval of the appointment of Council Member Hansen to the Streets and Infrastructure Committee as the council liaison. K, approval of the appointment of Mayor Ertley to the Public Safety Personal Retirement Board as the council liaison. L, approval of the appointment of Mayor Ertley to the Board of Adjustments as the council liaison. M, approval of the appointment of Mayor Ertley to the Board of Appeals as the council liaison. And N, approval of the appointment of Mayor Ertley to SIGO as the City of Bisbee representative. Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve consent agenda items A through N.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items A through N. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Ertley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number three, discussion of possible approval of to adopt ordinance O-14-10, authorizing the sale and transfer of city property located at 22 Star Avenue and also adjacent to Ogwin Avenue. Ms. Carl.
Yes. As you know, at the last meeting, you approved the intent to pass this ordinance and adopt this ordinance, excuse me. And there is a deed that goes along with this, and there'll be a sale of the property, so the city will get a little bit of income from this. But pretty much you've done it all, the auction, et cetera.
Any comments from the council? Do we have a motion?
I move that we approve Ordinance 0-14-19, authorizing the sale and transfer of certain surplus city property.
Ms. Dowdy, I think we have the numbers wrong.
I'll put my glasses
okay.
on.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay. I move that we approve ordinance O-14-10, authorizing the sale and transfer of certain surplus city property. And
do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve ordinance O-14-10, authorizing the sale and transfer of certain surplus city property. Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Eartley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Item number four, discussion of possible approval of animal shelter administrator agreement with Ms. Kathy Flood. Once again, Ms. Carl.
Yes. Perhaps others on the staff could speak more about this because they've been doing a lot of these administrative responsibilities for the animal shelter. And Ms. Flood has up until this point, I think, gone through a temp agency to help the city perform these tasks. And so it's important that this pass for a number of reasons.
Mr. Johnson.
Mayor, members of the council, thank you for the opportunity. When I first got here as city manager, I spent a significant amount of time at the animal shelter. You know, it truly became a labor of love, quite frankly. But one thing I really realized very quickly is the management and oversight of an animal shelter is not a 19.5-hour responsibility. In many respects, it's almost a full-time responsibility with the care of the animals that's quite frankly needed and necessary. As much time as I've spent at the shelter working with not just volunteers, employees, former employees, contractors, and things of that nature, one of the things that became very evident is the need on a consistent basis to have a greater degree of oversight. While the animal shelter does fall under the purview of the city manager's office, realistically, I cannot oversee an animal shelter with the many responsibilities that we have on a day-to-day basis. I can stop in, I can check in, oversee, are things running correctly, things of that nature. And since I've been here, I've worked with a number of volunteers, and quite frankly, Ms. Flood has truly stepped in on so many levels and really provided a great deal of oversight as a volunteer. Until we brought her on board as a contract employee on a part-time basis. What this agreement actually does, it provides a great degree of oversight and support. Ms. Flood has a great deal of not just animal care experience, but also life experience in my mind, and she has a customer service skills to address many of the issues that come up. And she, in addition, I will say she has a financial acumen to take a look at, you know, from a financial standpoint, here are the impacts of certain decisions that we make. Sharon Buono had an opportunity to get out and do some research, and we talked about ideas and how to make this thing happen, and through her research we were able to come up with a model, in my mind, is a responsible approach in addressing this issue. So with that said, Sharon, if you want to jump in and say a few words, and also Ms. Flood is here and can certainly, you know, answer any questions that you all may have.
Sharon Buono, City Finance Director.
Yeah, good evening, Mayor and Council. I had sent you a memo on the 31st. Giving you a shelter update, and I had included some documentation or other report that we had done to show where we were at. The Community Development Department has been overseeing the shelter for 1 year, and as part of the memo that I gave you, I just gave you highlights on our successes. A couple things that I didn't mention that I want you to know is that we did receive over $4,000 in donations from the community, from when we took over, because when we closed the shelter for renovations, we had a lot of people step forward. Ms. Flood was definitely one of those. Not only was there money, but there was a lot of in-kind. You know, we had people come in and work on the shelter, so that was a wonderful thing. In the previous calendar year, we had collected $60 in donations. So things are really moving forward. We've got two really major grants that we got this year that we haven't had before. One of them we have. There was another organization out there. It's called the Bisbee. It's
Friends,
trying to,
Friends of Bisbee, the animal shelter.
And we were awarded a grant to redo the cat room, to do the cat cages. So we've asked them for assistance to come in, because I can't design a cat room. Jessica can't, and we can't ask Andy to. So part of that, of all of this, is what Kathy would be doing for us. One of the main things that we found, and why we discovered that we had such a need, is when you rely on volunteers, you have to make sure they show up. Animals cannot go unfed. And somebody physically has to go out to the shelter. So part of our animal shelter coordinator is she's 19 and a half hours. We cannot go over 20. We're going to have to start looking at providing benefits. There's a lot of emergency types of things that happen on the weekend that we don't have staff or after hours, because they kind of work 10 to 4 hours a day.
The shelter's open from 10 to 2, but we were actually there from usually 10 to 5.
10 to 5. So there are all kinds of situations that pop up. So this is the most cost-effective way. The way that we currently have Kathy with us is she's coming to us as a temp through Sierra Vista Personnel Agency. So we're paying a lot of money for that service, and I think that this is more cost-effective. I have a vacancy in finance, an accountant position, that has been vacant for half a year, and that will more than cover the charges for this contract, because this was not budgeted last year, well, in this year's budget. A couple other things that we did is we set up some emergency veterinary care. We have clinics in Sierra Vista that are open on the weekend, that when the shelter coordinator or the person that's working really needs help, and we've had those types of situations, that we've had to have animals taken care of. People will leave us sick animals. We got a sick dog the day after Christmas, and that was our Christmas gift. Ms. Flood was working that day. She got them to the clinic, because that would have been Friday, and he was being treated. She took him back. She kept him at her home for a week, and we ended up having to euthanize him on that Friday on New Year's, because he had distemper.
Yeah, distemper.
So those are the types of needs that you don't necessarily see, but they're there, and so we need to address them. So what we're recommending is approval from the council. We still have a couple of things to work out. If this contract goes through, we can assign them a car. But right now, we can't do those types of things because she's going through a temp agency. So this will help us take a step forward. And I'd be really happy if it passes. But that doesn't mean I'm out of a shelter business. But the day-to-day stuff, she can handle it. She's more than qualified to do that.
Just a quick comment. How we care for our animals defines who we are as a community, and it's important. Do we have any other questions?
I have, Mr. Johnson.
Oh, excuse me, Councilmember Hanson.
I would just like the people to know that Justin went over to the animal shelter on Christmas Day to feed them, so that nobody else had to go in there and feed them. He has been very involved with the animal shelter, and I also want to commend Ms. Flood for all her work and her hard work in keeping the animal shelter afloat and doing such a wonderful job.
Any other?
Mayor, I also want to commend Kathy for what she has done and what she's willing to do, as well as the volunteers and our current coordinator in terms of running our animal shelter. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson, do you have a comment?
Oh, yes, sir. I was just going to say one of the key elements of this relationship, the name of the game in today's business world, government world, is relationships. Kathy has an immense amount of relationships within the community, outside of the community, especially in this particular space, and that's something you can't put a price on that. And it's something that I've learned very, very quickly, especially in the animal care business, if you will. And Ms. Flood has truly demonstrated that, and she's willing to lay that personal equity with folks in the community and organizations on the line. So I just wanted to make sure that that was said.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Councilmember
Dunn? Maybe I move to approve the Animal Shelter Administrator Agreement with Ms. Kathy Flood.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the Animal Shelter Administrator Agreement with Ms. Kathy Flood. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. Item number 5, discussion of possible approval of the Notice of Intent to Adopt Ordinance O-15-01 relating to increasing the transaction privilege tax levied by the City of Bisbee by an additional 1% of the gross revenues or values that are subject to such tax, with all these additional revenues to be used for maintenance, repair, replacement, and improvement of city streets and infrastructure, amending the city tax code, providing penalties for the violation thereof, designating effective and termination dates, providing for repeal and severability. Ms. Carl.
Yes, thank you. This was the one that got away. There was a Department of Revenue written guidance on this, and essentially, when I did the last ordinance in order to formalize what the electorate did during the election, I was using the Bisbee tax code, which had not been updated with this written guidance by the Department of Revenue. And so this was one little extra piece that needed to be added and has been added. And according to Ms. Bono, who may like to say a few words, we can get all of these pulled together and it won't create a problem.
City Finance Director, Ms. Bono.
Yes, this is the one that got away. What happened was is the last time our tax model code was updated was in 2011. In March of 2013, the Arizona Department of Revenue broke out from the retail sales another category, and they named it retail sales food for home consumption. So this is it, all the groceries that you buy that you take home. So when we went to update the ordinance, we didn't list that one item out as a separate category. The only way that we can raise it from 2.5 to 3.5 is it has to be listed out and has to be done as an ordinance. So we are here with this ordinance. This will go into effect on the same day as the other ordinance. It's just all the categories had to be listed and we missed one.
So, therefore, it's like a clerical cleanup of sorts?
That's the one that got away, but yes,
oh,
sir.
Any
I'm
questions
sorry.
Or, any questions or comments from the
I'm
council? Council Member Hansen?
Just as for clarification,
okay.
Why did they split it out? Was it so it would, was it so that it would not be part of the taxation for retail sales, that it be considered separately?
Yes, and that's all they did is they broke it down to its own category.
So why do we want to tax that also?
Well, we have been taxing it, and it's a very strong base for here in Bisbee. Food for home consumption is mm-hmm. anything that you buy at the grocery store, and we're currently and have always taxed it at 2.5. Now, the last time we raised our rates, and this is one of the things that brought this to our attention, we haven't raised our rates since 2000, the year 2000. Mm-hmm. So this isn't something that necessarily when the Arizona Department of Revenue sent this notice out, they update almost every year something either in language or categories or something. What we're required to do as a city is to update our model tax code. So we're behind in that. They have another change coming out for 2014. It's just something, but changes don't always affect us. We have our individual tax codes that we vote on as a community and it's implemented. So in this case, I don't know why that there's an entire commission. And all this information is available on the Arizona Department of Revenue tax site, but it's not easy to understand. It's called the Model Tax City Code. When we go to update our code, which we will, it's going to be something that is more attorney than it is finance, so it's very technical. So we'll be working on that. Mr. McKinnon and Ms. Flanagan were the last ones to do that. All of these changes to the tax code for Bisbee will be brought forward to be approved by council. So I'm sure we'll be learning a lot about it, and there'll probably be work sessions so we understand. But a lot of it is just tweaking languages. It's what the state has done, approved by the tax commission, to implement into our code. And we are required to implement it.
Yeah, I'm all for, you know, the taxation for the retail tax for the infrastructure and streets, but I'm just a little concerned about taking it from people who really can't afford to be taxed anymore on food that they're providing for their family. That's the reason I asked you whether or not it was taken out so that it would be a separate area and it would not be taxed.
When the voters approved the election, I'm pretty positive it raised our tax rate.
Yeah.
And it has to be done by ordinance. So
let me just clarify one thing, and that is our city tax code does, by reference, bring in the model tax code that Ms. Bono is mentioning. So by reference, and it is incorporated into our city tax code. And everything that the Department of Revenue provides as written guidance that's also a part of the modeled code, which doesn't show up on the face of our city tax code, but it is included in it, has been raised by the voters in the election.
Okay, so that was part of
it. Part of what people voted on, although, you know, tricky, yes, difficult to, you know, understand sometimes, but it's all kosher in terms of the voters approving that rate.
Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
And part of the canvassing of the vote that we do right after, and I don't believe that you were part of it, that information is required by Arizona Department of Revenue too. So when I submitted all the paperwork to them, because one of the reasons that the tax code doesn't go into effect, that the increase until March 1st, is they have 60 days. So we have to give the Arizona Department of Revenue 60 days so they can contact all of the businesses that are filing their taxes to inform them that it's raising from 2.5 to 3.5.
Any other questions or comments from the council? No? Do we have a motion?
I move the notice of intent to adopt ordinance 0-15-01 relating to increasing the transaction privilege tax levied by the City of Bisbee by an additional 1% of the gross revenues or values that are subject to such tax, with all these additional revenues to be used for maintenance, repair, replacement, and improvement of the city streets and infrastructure, amending the city tax code, providing penalties for the violation thereof, designating effective and termination dates, providing for repeal and severability.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other comments from the council? No? Ms. Coronado, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Hansen?
Aye.
Councilmember Dowdy?
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Klein?
Aye.
Councilmember Dunn?
Aye.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Aye.
Mayor Artley?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Ms. Buono.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Item number six, City Manager's Report.
Sure, thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, at the next council meeting, I'm going to bring before you, coming from Public Works, possible acquisition of two trucks out of sanitation. They've been slowly chipping away and trying to set aside some funds for their vehicle replacement program, so I have a formal presentation for you, hoping to piggyback off an existing state contract for that acquisition. Also, I'll have your monthly financials available for you at the next council meeting, and we'll put together a formal presentation on where we are to date. And also, I sent in an email relative to our strategic planning session, so please let me know kind of what your preference is one way or the other if you want to move forward sooner rather than later. As I indicated in my email, Mr. Mike Lesher, former city manager of Tucson, has offered to come down and do a formal presentation about strategic planning. And if you all are interested in that, that won't happen until February, the second meeting in February. But in the event that you all want to move forward something sooner or with a date sooner than that, then I'm certainly open to it. So just give me a call. Let me know one way or the other, and we can certainly move forward with that. And at this time, that's all that I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Someone?
A motion we adjourn.
We have a motion. Did you second that?
I did.
We have two
I
motions.
Did. Okay, I'll second that.
Okay, we got a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion passes unanimously. This meeting is adjourned.